Good morning, second service folks. Thank you for being here today. And singers, I enjoyed you again in second service, so thank you for coming this morning. If you have your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 22 and the first seven verses. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 7. We're in a series about worship, and we've talked in the past about worship being more than just a public gathering, just a corporate experience. It is a private matter when we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, when we step from the darkness around us into the blessedness of His presence, and we're anointed and saturated with who He is and with what He's promised. Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you struggling with today? I know this. I know that every one of us struggle with some situation, issue, circumstance. Maybe it's the world in which we live. Maybe it's the political scene that has you confused and frustrated. Maybe it's much closer to home than that. Maybe it's a rocky marriage that you're not sure what the outcome's going to look like. Maybe one of the kids are prodigals, and you don't really know where they are and what they're up to and if or when they'll ever come home. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a dead end. Maybe you're bored to death. Maybe you hate it. Maybe you wish you could be somewhere else and do something else to make a living for your family. Maybe you love where you are, but you're concerned it's going to be over with because of the culture and the society and the economy that we're in. Maybe it's the money scene. Not enough left at the end of the month. Too many bills and not enough money. Maybe you're worried about how to pay for this or that, to retire that student loan or to pay that medical bill. Maybe you've heard from the doctor or you're about to hear from the doctor and you dread what you're going to hear. What are you struggling with today? And again, I know two things. One is every person in this room struggles in some area. And number two, God has a one-word answer for your struggles, and that word is called worship. In the midst of genuine, authentic worship, we lose sight of the struggles of life, and we catch sight of the glory of God. In the midst of real worship, the things of this earth no longer impound us, influence us, and impact us as they once did. No wonder the songwriter said, "Turn your eyes toward Jesus, look full in His wondrous face, and the things of this earth will all vanish in the light of His glory and grace." The psalmist said, "You can bow down and worship Him." He said, "You can clap your hands and worship the Lord." He said, "You can kneel before the Lord, the God, your Maker." He said, "You can lift up hands in His sanctuary." The psalmist said, "By musical instruments, we can give praise to God." And he said, "Even if you're a Baptist, you can shout and give praise to the Lord." He said, "You don't have to always shout. You can be silent and know the Lord's in His holy temple and let all the world be quiet before Him." He said you could sing His praises. You could stand and give Him praise. You could fall on your face and give Him praise. And as we did a moment ago, you can bring an offering to the Lord and praise His holy name. And so I want to talk about worship this morning, and I want to use King David as our example. So again, 2 Samuel, and we'll look at verse 1. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me, and the snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and to my God I called, and from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. O Father, hear the cries of your people just now. We confess our sin. We readily admit, without you, we are nothing and we can do nothing. We acclaim to you all of the honor and the glory and the worth and the majesty and the value forever and forever. And now, dear Father, by the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, anoint the message that I might be hidden behind the cross and decrease while Jesus Christ might be lifted up and increase in this service, because I ask it through his glorious name. Amen. Let me just take the life of David and lay alongside of it your life and mine, and see if we can't come up with what personal worship really looks like. This is corporate worship. It's an hour a week, and I'm glad you're here. But if this is all of the worship you experience, it will never be the benefit it needs to be, the blessing it ought to be, nor will it bring God the glory he so fully deserves. So here's three words I want us to think about. The first word is the word remember. Can you remember to remember that word? And the second word is the word recite. And the third is the word refuge. Remember. Can you only imagine the thoughts and the memories that King David possessed? Could you imagine that perhaps one night while laying in the palace, king of all of Israel, his mind did what ours so often do, it returned to childhood. And he remembered the day that he was summoned to leave the sheep in the wilderness and come in before the prophet Samuel. He was so confused because all of his brothers were there, and they didn't look all that happy. Because from the older brother all the way down to David, Samuel had looked over each one of them, searching for the next king to replace King Saul. Not one of those handsome warriors was chosen, but here is a little teenage shepherd boy. And the moment Samuel saw him, he said, "He's the one." And he poured the anointing oil of God upon Samuel, or upon David's head, and it flowed down. And there he stood, just a teenager, but to be the next king of Israel. Maybe he turned over and adjusted his pillow, as we sometimes do, and he thought about the time the bear came into the camp, and with his slingshot he slay the bear. And then the lion came into the camp, and with the same slingshot, with fear and trembling, but with just the slingshot, he slayed the lion. And then he turned over and almost awakened, perhaps, as he remembered in his mind how tall Goliath was, how forbearing he was, how big the armor, how gigantic the obstacle, how forbidding all that was happening that day was. The little argument that he had with Saul when Saul said, "You're just a boy, you can't do anything about this." And David smiled as he remembered, "Wasn't my battle to start with. I was just delivering groceries and checking on the war. It was the Lord's battle, but I decided to fight it. And great is the victory that God gives to those who yield to his name." Maybe David remembered those times he hid in the cave when Saul pursued him. Maybe he remembers how close he came to dying on dozens of occasions and God delivered him. Maybe he remembered the valley of the shadow of death and was able to state that in that valley I find no fear, for he's with me and his rod and his staff comfort me. He even prepares a table before me in the presence of enemies and anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. And I've got two companions, goodness and mercy, and they walk with me. And one day I'm coming into his presence forever and dwelling in his house because he's gone to prepare for me a place. And as David remembered all of these things that God had done for him, how blessed he was, he must have shouted out from the depths of his heart, "Praise be to God for his great power, presence, and provision in my life." David knew something about remembering the blessings of the Lord. Now, let me lay your life alongside of his. Do you remember when you were lost in sin? Unsaved. Maybe that first church service where the pastor preached and the music was sung and your heart began to pump faster than ever before. Remember maybe in the den where you lived when you got out on your hands and knees with your parents and brother or sister and you prayed. Do you remember where you were and what happened when the Lord saved you and turned you from a road to hell to a way to heaven? Do you remember that this morning? Do you remember what it feels like to know your sin has been forgiven? You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Do you remember what happened when you came forward and the whole church shook your hand and hugged your necks and grandma shouted and daddy was crying and everybody around you was happy? Do you remember what it's like when the Lord comes down and changes you from a sinful creature to a saved son of God? Do you remember what that's like? Then give him praise in the house this morning if you remember what it's like to get saved. You remember what it's like when your daughter got saved, when your son got saved. You remember what it's like when you held that little baby that you'd prayed, give him five good fingers on this hand and that hand and five good toes on both of its feet and let my little baby be healthy. And there they handed you this beautiful creation of God. And you said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." You remember what that was like. And when the doctor said, "You don't have long," and the Lord said, "You've got as long as I want you to have." Do you remember what that was like? Do you remember what it was like when you ran out of money and God said, "Let me loan you some of mine. In fact, let me just give it to you because every good and perfect gift comes from God who is above." You remember what God did when God touched your life? When he healed your body, when he blessed your family, when he brought you into his presence, when he did for you what you could never ever do for yourself. If you remember that, give him praise in this place this morning. Oh, remember the good things of God. Remember how good God is and what God has done in your life. And that's what worship is. A second word's the word recite. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'd have liked to have been a saved fly on the wall in the palace of King David. I would have liked to heard him as he threw open the window shutters in the morning, as he opened wide the door, as he started down the palace, and he said, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Get your harp and praise him. Get your cymbal and praise him. Get your trumpet and praise him. Rise up and praise him. Let everybody come into the house of the Lord with singing and praise and with hallelujahs." Wouldn't you like to have been there as David shouted out the praises of God? He came back into town dancing one day because God had given him his tens of thousands. There were some who criticized him. And listen, if you talk about Jesus in the world in which we live, you might get criticized, but that's even a better reason to talk about Jesus in the world in which we live, because anybody that criticizes you for talking about Jesus in the world in which we live needs to hear about Jesus. So talk about him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Do you know what would happen if we left this place as evangelists this morning? If going out of here, every last one of us vowed in our heart that we'd talk about Jesus all week long, wherever we have lunch, wherever we buy groceries, wherever we get gasoline for our car, wherever we work, wherever we go to school, whoever we run into, if we'd just brag on Jesus, do you have any earthly idea what the city of Conway would think about and what they'd know about our Lord Jesus Christ if 1,000 folks left this place today and went out there and said so, said I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, said my sin is forgiven, said I know I'm on my road to heaven, said I'm saved by the grace of God, said I am filled with the Holy Spirit, said this book is real, said my God is almighty and worthy of praise. You have any earthly idea what this group of people could do to the city of Conway and beyond if the redeemed of the Lord said so? Oh, let's talk about refuge, because this is a messed up world that we live in. I'm not talking about a place that takes us out of the sufferings of the world. I'm talking about worship being a place that draws us into the indescribable peace and joy of the blessings of God. I'm not talking about an escape religion where you sell all you have and wrap yourself in sheets and go to the top of a mountain. I'm not talking about an endurance religion where you just grit your teeth and say, I'm going to bear it until the Lord comes and I'm not going to be happy about it, but when Jesus comes, I'll get out of the mess. I'm talking about an enjoyable relationship with God that says, regardless of what goes on around me, I've got the joy of the Lord deep down in my heart. I'm talking about the kind the kids used to sing about. If you're happy and you know it, say amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a kind of relationship. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ that will give us the kind of peace and joy and contentment that only a relationship with Jesus Christ can give us. I'm talking about him being a refuge. Listen, did you know that being saved by grace means that your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west? Did you know that being covered in the blood makes you a child of God, while not perfect in human form, glorified one of these days in the presence of the Lord? Did you know that our God is alive, ever lives to make intercession for us, and that the first word out of your mouth is heard by the Father on high? Did you know that when you come to the house of God and begin to sing his praises and give gifts to the Lord and spend your time praising him and exalting him and lifting him up, blessing has got to flow? Did you have any earthly idea that you have been left on this earth not to just pretend to be a Christian, but to practice what's going to happen one day in glory? Do you have any earthly idea that as we are here in this very place this morning, that the storms that come around us will drive us to the place of refuge, which is the Lord Jesus Christ? In Jordan, there's a city called Petra. Nobody lives there now, but once it was inhabited. It's a walled city. The sun cannot even be seen in parts of the city because of the shape of the fortress walls. It'll be a place where the Jewish people will hide during the tribulation. But greater, far, far greater than that, it's a picture of the rock that is higher than I. A place where when the storms of life are raging, where the troubles are sweeping, where problems assault me, where difficulty confronts me, and where obstacles face me, I can run to the rock and know that in him I am secure and I am safe. Rock of ages,
cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what real private worship is. It's a constant remembrance of how good our God is. It's reciting it over and over so that not only do you remember it, but others receive it. Oh, and it's a refuge. When the storms of life are raging, you've got a place to run to. When everybody else walks out, he walks in. When everybody else says no, he says yes. When everybody else says impossible, he says, I deal with those kind of things. I am God, and beside me, there is none else. He's a refuge in time of the storm. So, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's stand together. There'll be pastors here in the altar. And I'm going to ask you to only do one thing this morning, and that is to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to tell you what you ought to do. I'm going to ask you to just say, Lord, now that I've been in this service, I've heard this music, I've heard that message, what should I do? I'm going to ask you to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Somebody needs to come and say, I want to be saved. I want to trust that Lord that you're talking about. I want Christ hidden deep in my heart. Somebody needs to come and say, I've been saved, but I know I need to be baptized. I need to publicly profess what's privately and personally happened. Somebody needs to come and become a part of our church family. Somebody needs to come and say, listen, my life lately has not been praising him. And I've not been praising him. I'm more about escaping and enduring than I am enjoying my relationship with God. And I want to come this morning and commit myself afresh. The altar's open for prayer. And here's the last thing I want to say before we sing. You have just a few minutes to make a decision that very well could impact your forever. Just a few minutes to listen and do what the Spirit speaks to your heart about. It could change your forever. Let's sing together.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord.